Hello, everyone. Before we kick off today's podcast, I just want to say, one, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's been so much fun. Last week, I asked to just share it with a friend, and you guys came through. This week, I'm going to ask you to do one of two things again. Go to youtube.com/thatcreativelife and subscribe to the YouTube channel. Yes, there is a YouTube channel. And or number two, go to Instagram, thatcreative.life, and follow me there. We are over 50 episodes in on this podcast. We've had some meaningful conversations with people. And guess what? We're not stopping anytime soon. However, I will say that I'm going to have to hit the pause button just a little bit. I think I'm going to start doing these podcasts in like 4-episode bursts, like months at a time. As you know, my main day job is being a YouTuber. And so when the podcast, even though we got almost 20,000 listens a week, come on, sponsors, the podcast really isn't my main job. So continually pouring resources into something to do it consistently every single Monday, it can just be a lot, is all that I'm saying. But I think this podcast is obviously so valuable outside of making money off of it. You know, I see it as something that's one, super fun for me, but two, I think just like a way to give back to you all. It's so refreshing that all of my YouTube friends and, you know, CEO type colleagues are willing to give all their secrets, all their inspiration away through a 1-hour podcast. Like, why wouldn't I do that? That's so cool to have. Yes, selfishly for me, but to share that with you, it's been a blast. So I know I'm ranting now, but all of that to say, I'm just saying, don't be alarmed if you don't see another podcast for a month or so, but I'm gonna be back and I'll keep going back. It's just not going to be as wildly consistent as it's been, which, you know, pat on my back for that, right? So even if there's not a new podcast every single Monday, I'm actually gonna be experimenting with the That Creative Life YouTube channel and the Instagram. There's going to be fresh inspo on those channels for your faces, new content, new videos. I'm just going to play around with it and also, you know, keep doing the podcast, so don't freak out. But anyways, without further ado, my friend Lizzie. Welcome to That Creative Life. Hi, my name is Sarah Dici and I am your host. I talk with artists, YouTubers, CEOs, and everyone in between. I hope this podcast helps you live your best creative life. Enjoy. New podcast with Lizzie Pierce, and we're just gonna hop right into it. Lizzie,
all right.
Thank you for being on my couch here in New York City.
Have you been enjoying it?
Yeah. How's
New York?
Your couch? Yes, specifically my couch. Rate it from a 1 to a 10.
It's pretty comfortable. It's leather. I would say it's a solid 8.5. It's an article.
Thank you so much. Now New York. Yes, it is article. Oh. But I never tell people it's article because they refuse to give me free furniture.
Yeah,
they
we said, had the same experience. Don't you worry.
No way.
Yeah.
Did they say that your audience didn't fit their demographic?
Yep. Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No way.
Because when we were trying to furnish our house, that's exactly, we were like, okay, well, perfect opportunity
for
us to try and find some brands to help us out. And it'll be such like an easy way to integrate.
And they don't realize what a good deal it is for them.
No, because we're going to do a home tour.
Mm-hmm.
When we put things up on the wall, which we still haven't done. And the amount of time it took us to do the office tour.
It looks great, by the way.
Thank you. Thank
by the
you.
Way, guys, Lizzie just bought a home with her lovely fiance, Chris Howe. So you guys are on full on adulting mode. Got the office set up. It looks great.
Thank you.
But it's hard to get a home together.
Yeah. It's really weird now in my life to say that we own a home. I really didn't expect it. I still, I think last year I was like, yeah, I think I could actually do this. But 2 years ago, no, it was not a thought in my mind. I thought I was going to move a couple more times and the stars aligned. You make it into your late 20s, your career takes off a little bit. Mm-hmm. I also came into a little bit of money and we were able to buy a home in Toronto.
Wow, that sounds so like, yep, I do drugs. So
yeah, I do drugs.
Came into a little bit of money from
came
my
into
drug dealing.
A little bit of money. Family money.
But it's crazy when, it's so funny because when I reached out to Article, I think sometimes we come off as these ungrateful influencer people who think
just
they could get
stuff.
And I'm like, no, I would I can buy this stuff. I can afford this stuff, which I did. I bought, it's funny because I still like their stuff. So I bought everything. I just didn't link them in the description. I didn't tell anyone where it was from.
Yeah.
But they don't realize that, like, if only two people buy something from their website after, it's more than enough paid for it.
I don't understand their logic. And it was
so funny.
It was frustrating, but at the end of the day, I mean, we're having a long conversation about couches, but we ended up asking, I think it was Pete or someone's like actually has an article couch. And they said, this one actually seems like pretty good, but the one that he
Pete
has,
says his is garbage, right?
Yeah, he does. And that was the exact one we were going to get. And he said like the back pillows, but yours actually doesn't have that.
Yeah.
The back pillow is like completely deflated. And so we ended up finding a really good deal on another couch. It was like they had a half off sale, really well made.
Yes.
And we could customize it a little bit. So now we love our couch. You can see it in probably 80% of our videos right now.
It looks great. Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. I've seen it.
Thank
it's
you.
A good looking couch. Yeah. I love that the first 3 minutes of this podcast.
So,
oh my God, I just combined the word podcast and couch.
What did you say?
Pod couch.
Couch, pod couch.
Oh, we're on a good roll here. I love it. I love it. But yeah, it's funny because we've gotten to hang out a bit here in New York, and it's been fun to kind of compare stories of the behind the scenes of brand work and YouTube life. And so I'm very excited.
We got very personal.
Exactly.
We just did a podcast
over on yours,
which we just started recently, and it's all about being a couple and working in a creative industry.
Yeah. So if that's, I don't know when everything's going up, but I'll make sure to link down in the description below their podcast, their channel, because we're going to be doing some collabs as well, which I'm very excited about.
Me too.
But yeah, for the people who don't know, let me know who you are, Lizzie. Yes. What do you do?
So my name's Lizzie. Hi, how are you? I am a photographer, videographer, business owner, producer, editor. We wear a lot of hats because Chris and I own our own production company. And that's kind of how we got started in all this stuff. It's very like long-winded story of how we got here. But we had a background in production. We've been running our business for a few years. And about a year ago, I started my YouTube channel.
Amazing. Yeah. I was looking at your YouTube channel last night, and I love that. I think it was your first one. It was a music video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was, I just put something up so I could get the, like, what is it, like 1,000 subscribers so you can change your handle.
Your thumbnail.
Yeah.
Your,
you can customize everything.
Oh, that's so
And
funny.
So, we recorded that song with a friend of ours because I actually thought I was going to be a musician for a long time. And so we still have that interest, and Chris shot it, and a friend of ours, did the recording. And
It's funny because there's two trends that I see, which I want to address both. Mm-hmm. One is just throughout the people who get into video, it seems like everyone has a musical background.
It's so weird.
It's crazy, right?
I'm not even sure why.
Like, why do you think that is? And how did music play a part? I mean, were you ready to do the singer songwriter wrote? And, and I said that we're kind of Canadian.
Yeah. I always was interested in the arts. Like, growing up, I was a very outgoing child. If there was like a mariachi band nearby, I wanted to dance, I wanted to sing, I wanted to be the center of attention. And then I thought, well, you know, I'm gonna be a singer. I'm at like 5, I was like, I'm gonna be famous by the time I'm 10.
Love it.
I'm gonna be a celebrity. And then, you know, you get a little bit more realistic. And I just realized I really liked music, so I stuck with that. Grew up playing piano classically. And in school,
did you have the recitals and stuff?
I did. I had the recitals. Yeah. I did the exams. And then in school, I played cello. And then my parents bought me a guitar so I could accompany myself singing. But very quickly, I kind of realized that I kept it close to my heart because I didn't want people telling me that I wasn't good at it, or I wasn't, or they didn't like what I did, because it was so important to me. And so at a certain point, I thought, well, maybe this is just going to be the thing I do for me. Mm-hmm. But the things I excelled in and the things I was always interested in and wanted to participate in were all still creative. And I felt like I was pretty good at drawing, and I was, you know, good at writing. And then I finally took like a media class in high school, and I would spend my entire lunch hour editing. Mm-hmm. and I had like a little point and shoot camera that couldn't, you know, record more than like a minute.
Did editing come before filming for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved editing. I loved editing. And yeah, I've heard you talk a lot about that. You like get in the zone. That's so me. And so I would, you probably hear my leather jacket on the couch right now.
Oh, John would be, vegan John would be cringing. Yeah, your leather jacket against the leather couch.
And this is when they stop listening. Yeah, at a certain point, I was like, maybe this is the thing that I'm going to do, because I seem to have an interest in it. And even though I was not good at it, my mom was so supportive. And she was like, there's this program in university. I am a person that did go to university.
Graduated. Congrats.
Thank you. And but it was mainly because I wasn't 100% sure what I wanted to do. And it seemed like a good place to try a lot of things. Yeah. I had access to tons of gear, like red cameras. Like no one should have been giving me a red camera at the time.
So you went to school for video, for production.
Yeah. Amazing. It wasn't a film program, but it was technically broadcasting. So television production. It's known in Canada for cranking out like tons of video producers. Wow. So I thought, well, I seem to be good at, you know, organizing people. I want to be in charge. I want to know what's going on. I'm very controlling. So I was like, maybe that's just what I'm going to do. So I put myself in all those types of classes. And then I met Chris at the end of my second year, going into my third year. And he was running his own business. He had some government clients in photography and videography. And then he was editing his own stuff. And I was like, why did I stop doing that? And Chris, one of the things I love about him is that he was so encouraging for me to do my own thing. And I was like, yeah. He's like, well, why aren't you editing? Why aren't you doing this? And I was like, you're right. Why am I not doing that? So it was like 2 months after we started dating. My next birthday present was a Canon T3i.
Oh my God, that was my camera.
Was it?
Because
I had it for so long.
My dad had it, but he very rarely used it.
Oh.
And it was this big deal that I would like go into his closet and kind of like steal his camera because he was very particular about it.
Yeah.
So I put that thing, and that was back in the day when there was really no auto. You couldn't just put it on auto and it to work.
Brutal.
So
yeah.
It allowed me to finally learn how to shoot, which took so long. I was like, wait. What do you mean the f-stop means it's opening up the iris? Like that took me a while to figure out.
Yeah, shooting it on manual mode. Like that was where I really learned how to.
T3i is the OG.
And it was great because at the time I really didn't know much and I still don't consider myself a super technical person. So I got to learn a lot of the basics with that and get good with the T3i. Yeah. I did work with the Canon T3i.
That people think that they need the best right out the gate.
Yeah.
Guys, you could get the cheapest of DSLRs with a decent kit lens for like $400 on Craigslist and make movies.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's actually probably going to be the video we're talking about a little later.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah. And then when I wanted to improve my skill set and I wanted to try using different gear, I had a friend that had a 5D Mark III, and so I would do whatever I could to borrow hers. And I was like, whatever you need help with, like, can I just borrow your camera to do jobs and things like that? And then it's a very long story, but how we got into this.
I love it. No,
and then,
because it's a lot of times it's just kind of that spark, like editing and filming, really, if you wanted, you could just do one or the other.
Yeah.
But I think it's really valuable when those paths cross because it allows you to really understand it. Even if you go into the producer role, like, you know, you like 100%. Being a boss, you like giving people directions. Mm. It's so valuable for you to know your ish.
To
you know,
understand to the go, whole process,
exactly.
What you're asking for, how long things take. And that was my mentality in trying to do a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm.
So when you graduated, what point were you at?
Yeah. So I was freelancing and doing little jobs here and there. Chris and I worked together occasionally, but I was so tired of being broke, like a broke university student. Yeah. So I was like, I want to get a job. I want someone to pay me a salary. I'm just, you know, I want to live my life. And so I got a job at a corporate video production company, which was on the smaller side. There were about like 8 to 10 people that worked there, and it was great because I was involved in pretty much every job that was happening, and they were really grooming me to be one of their producers. And so by the time I left, I was actually in the middle of being promoted. I was kind of operating as a junior producer, and I had my own office, and, you know, things were going great. Ooh, but
you had walls?
I had walls. But the thing was, I knew that I was never going to be able to have any creative control. And I knew
and
I was
corporate videos. So.
And they were corporate videos, but I didn't even mind necessarily that they were corporate videos. I had other ideas on how to do them. Mm-hmm. And my boss was just so old school. And Chris and I were kind of like, well, you know, if we want to work together, which we'd always talked about, we always said we wanted to run our own business kind of as school ended. And that was always like mm-hmm. our dream. We were like, why aren't we trying to do this now? There's no better time than right now.
At that point, how long have had y'all been dating?
About 4 years. Okay. Yeah. And the other thing was Chris was getting more offers with his business to do more work. Right. But Chris is very much an idea person, and he wants to show up and shoot it and have fun.
But
and
there's a ton of logistics.
There's a ton of logistics. Yeah. And that's where I really excelled as well. And also I had tons of ideas on how, you know, his videos could be improved on because of what I'd, you know, I was essentially directing a lot of their corporate videos too. So we took a leap of faith, started working together. We were terrified because we were like, how are we going to support both of us?
Right. All the eggs in one basket.
Oh my God. Yeah. And then our first year we did really well. And that was probably like one of my happiest years because it was just like, we're doing great work. Clients like think we're great and we're making like good money and like not like amazing, but we were doing really well.
But you're doing it.
Yeah. Especially for our age. Like I was doing better than I was even at that production company. And so, and then we just wanted to do more of the work we liked. So then that led into the travel realm. And then that led into us coming up with kind of a recipe for making viral content. And we got good at that and then kind of thought, you know, why aren't we doing this for ourselves? We're allowing, you know, our clients, we're helping our clients get their videos seen. But why can't we apply these same techniques to what we're doing? And it was about the same time that Chris rekindled his relationship with Peter. Mm-hmm. And then Peter was super influential in Chris starting his channel. Right. And then
Peter McKinnon.
And yeah, I'm sure everybody knows. And then I was watching a lot of Chris's content and I didn't watch a ton of YouTube. I didn't really understand what it was. I'm not going to lie. But I'd seen your video actually. And Chris was big into watching. He watched you and Casey. And I was like, why aren't there any girls? Like I know Sarah's here. Like Sarah's doing some cool stuff. But really there aren't very many. And then that kind of made me mad.
I should start something. Yeah.
And I was like, whatever. I don't feel like I know everything about everything, but I have some like good tips to share. And also if, you know, one person or one girl out there sees what I'm doing and wants to start their thing because of it, cool. That's my only goal.
Because I mean, just seeing people who look like you doing the thing can be such a encouragement, you know, because it is hard when you don't see it. It's kind of like, oh, well, well, I see someone doing that. I mean,
she's already doing it. So right, why can't I?
Right.
Yeah.
And so how long was that period of, okay, starting the production company mm-hmm. and then Chris starting his channel and then you starting your channel? Was that like a long period of time? Or?
Not really. Like when I was working with Chris, it was about like full time. It was technically about like 2 years, maybe a little bit more. And then it was about, I think, a year and a half ago that Chris started his channel. And then I started about a year ago.
I mean, it's still so recent, which is cool, right?
Yeah.
Because there's so much opportunity.
Yeah.
And what was the, like, the point? Like, do you ever, because I know Chris does music too. Because mm-hmm. I still want to talk about music a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that something that when y'all started your production company, mm-hmm. it was seen more as, okay, this is just a hobby. This is obviously like a big part of her life, mm-hmm. but you know, maybe the time has passed as to mm-hmm. this is something we can do professionally, or was it ever a dream to do it professionally? Or like, what's your relationship with music now?
Yeah. Chris was really trying to make it happen for himself, and I was going out to a lot of his shows, and it's something that I kind of kept going again as a hobby, but I would love to do it more. And now we've even talked about it because we have a friend who is a music producer and he's so great, and we help each other out. Like we'll help him with, you know, some advice and he'll help us out with a few things. And so we're like, yeah, he could record an EP for us. And, you know, maybe people would like that. We could just put it up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, Selfie. Like, we could just put it up somewhere. And if people are interested, like, maybe it's a way that we can play a show once in a while. Maybe it's something we can keep going, but it's not.
You could be a very, you know, like, play music, do a Q&A.
Yeah.
Could be like a sort of thing.
Yeah. Like a music meetup or something. Yeah. And so we still want to find ways to, like, loop it into our lives now, but there's less pressure because it's not the way that we make money. It's not the reason, you know, we can afford this lifestyle.
That's,
so
that's intense when you put pressure on something like music where it's supposed to be from your soul.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then you try to make money from it and it gets confusing and very tiring.
Yeah.
Which is cool to hear. Yeah. I think it's interesting that there's such a parallel between the music and creative world. And I think it's people discovering that, oh, video is something you can actually make money in, because it is a very intimidating thing to individuals, businesses, small or big. So it's really an asset to be able to do. What do you see? Because I know you guys are still doing the corporate gigs, you know, still have the production company. I dabbled in the corporate videos.
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah, how did that go? It was boring as hell.
Yeah.
But
you reach your limit.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, no more of this.
Yeah.
What do you see in that world that can still improve upon? Do you see people following the same blueprint for the classic corporate video? Is there some newness that it can benefit from? Or is there a reason why everything kind of looks the same, do you think?
I think the reason everything looks the same is for two reasons. One, clients tend to ask for that and advocate for that, not knowing that it's not really what they need or want or should want. And also because I think a lot of people see the way a corporate video is and think they have to remake that, and that's the way a corporate video is supposed to look. The reason that I think our corporate videos were so good and why our clients love them is because we tried to really get to the root of why they were doing things. Like, what was the emotional side of what they were doing? Like, if it was a product or a service, like, who was impacted by that? And then that became the focus. So, for example, we did a video for a company called Tekla, and they make assistive devices for people who have mobility issues from the shoulders down. So they can't use their arms to use, like, touchscreen devices. So what Tekla does is it allows them to use their chair or their sip and puff controllers that they would use to move around in their mobility device, but connect that to operating a mobile phone or an iPad or something like that. So now they can send emails. Now they can do work. Now, and in the story that we told, now this guy named Todd can sext his wife.
Oh. So I imagine that's so fun.
It was. And when we heard that story, because our client was like,
were they scared of that to tell that story?
And the best part was they weren't.
Amazing.
And but it came out so nonchalantly. We were like, okay, who do you know in this space? You know, what are some of their stories? What can you tell us? Like, who can we talk to come up with some ideas for you? And they mentioned that. They're like, they used this guy named Todd. Like, he used Tekla to, like, sex his wife and, like, you know, send her these messages. And now they're married. I was like, that's it. And Chris got so excited. He's like, that's the story. And it was great, and it performed really well, and because, like, that's the reason why they made this device, you know. That's, it's not
genuine,
how cool
people
it is
telling people in their stories.
So it doesn't always have to be a corporate video. It doesn't always have to be stale and about the features. And I mean, you do need videos like that if you're looking for, like, an explainer style video.
Right.
Like, those can be challenging to make fun.
Yeah.
But there's a difference
sometimes
between, like, an
explainer. Just have a job to do.
Yeah.
I mean, can you break down kind of the classic, could you categorize them in certain categories?
I have, like, my own names for them.
Yeah. Tell what are they? Like, how would you break it down?
Oh, man. I'll try and remember as many as I can. But, like, explainer would be one. If it's, like, you're trying to list the features of something or, like, a process and how things are done, like, for a particular service, then we would call that an explainer. And, like, a really fun way to do those is, like, a doodle animation. For example, because it's the only, like, that's usually our go-to, is because you can make it fun and cute and silly, but still get all the information across in a really interesting way.
Right.
And then there's, you know, you can do more of a viral promo video type, which is kind of what I would classify the one we did for Tekla, yeah. because it's something that we wanted to attract attention back to the brand. It wasn't necessarily like...
And then that goes up on their own YouTube channel.
Yeah, it would go up on their YouTube channel.
Spreading awareness.
Yeah, exactly. There was another video we actually did fairly recently for a solar panel company. Oh. And it was technically a corporate video, but... We, again, told it from the side of, you know, this is changing the world and the world that we live in. And this is the impact that we as a company can have. And that's still, it's a corporate, it's a promotional video. But we're getting to the root of what, why it is they're doing that, not necessarily what. Like, the solar panels are a factor, and you do have to mention a few things about why they're great. But in a video, that's not where you should be getting to the nitty-gritty and all of that information necessarily. They should be going back to your website or wherever else to find all of that. The video should be what's attracting people.
What's the process like when you, you know, you get the email, you maybe settle on a rate, and then how do you start that creative process with clients? Because I think a lot of people maybe, you know, making YouTube their job is very far-fetched, but I think everyone mm-hmm. can tap into their own community. There are yeah. so many still, not just, you know, you don't have to set the bar to making commercials for Nike or Mercedes. You know, yeah. Mercedes is one of y'all's clients. It's definitely something to work up to, but there's so many people who need good videos, and you'd yeah. be amazed that, you know, not how much people can pay, but how willing they are to just pay for a good product. Cause,
yeah.
So
those
it's
are the
not,
clients we want. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. And maybe it takes time, but I think, you know, you can start by knocking on local businesses saying, hey, I have this package, you know, this $500 package, you get X, Y, Z, you can build up a portfolio and then you can start, you know, those 5, 10, 15K projects.
Yeah.
And so obviously you guys are many years in and, you know, you have clients, you have relationships with them, mm-hmm. but I'm sure every project kind of starts with a blank slate. So how do mm-hmm. you get from what they want to what's practical and what works? I right. imagine it's kind of a finding middle ground, but a lot of times companies kind of just stomp on you and say, this mm-hmm. is what we want. This is what you have to do.
It does happen. We've reached the point where if they don't allow us to participate in the creative, then we don't do it. Mm-hmm. We're not, and we'll tell them, you know, in a really nice way, of yeah. course, we're not a production house. We're not just that. We're, you know, a full service production company.
Like a creative and we, partner.
Yeah. You want a good video. You want something that you're going to like. Then you have to listen to our advice to a certain extent. You do have the money. You do make the rules. Right. At the end of the day, it is your video. But, you know, if you're working with us, you're working with us because we know what we're doing. And so one of the first questions, yeah, it's always budget. And it's what do they think they want? Where is it going to live? Like, what platforms is it going to exist on? Because that is a huge factor. Yeah.
Aspect ratios.
Yeah. Aspect ratios, how long it is, mm-hmm. how people are consuming that content. Because if they're like, oh, yeah, we want to like put it up on Facebook and social media, we want it to be like 5 minutes long. I'm like, cool. No one's going to watch that.
Yeah.
So it's a huge factor.
Paid advertising behind it.
Yeah. And then, so yeah. a lot of times we'll say, okay, so maybe if you want something that's 5 minutes and has all that info, that's something that could live on your website. When people get back there, maybe they're ready to watch that.
Right.
But let's do some shorter versions, vertical with subtitles, that just gets people, you know, gives people the nitty gritty and something interesting they can latch onto that'll attract them back to your website, like that Tekla story, for example. So asking a lot of those questions will lead us into the type of content that not only that they've asked for, but what they actually need. And that's usually that's always in a phone call. It's not over the email. So, and it's hard for people our age to get outside of their email and jump on a phone call, but honestly, that is one of the biggest pieces of advice I can give to anyone who wants to run their own business. I want to like look in the camera while I say this.
Right here.
Get on the phone. Get on the phone.
Get on the phone. Get on the phone.
Get on the phone.
Get on the phone.
Get on the phone. Because that's how you're going to separate yourself and put a personality or some kind of personality behind it and let your client know that you care. Build a relationship. Yeah.
for people who are terrified of talking to people on the phone, because I think
someone
that's
else
a,
to do it.
Yeah, I think that's a really real thing. Yeah. Right. I mean, have you always just kind of been able to be personable with people? And,
yeah.
And that's probably one of your assets, right?
I think so.
You've got to be self-aware. Find a partner.
Yeah. If you're just a hardcore like creative, you want to shoot and edit. That's all you want to do. Find a partner. You know, you don't have to do everything yourself. You don't have to be good at doing all of that yourself. And that's okay. We just found that like as a team, we were really strong and we could do so much more this way, right. And do more work that we felt good about. And so now usually like Chris and I will riff on creative and come back to the client with different ideas on what we think we should do for them. But at the end of the day, usually I'm writing, if there's a script involved, I'm writing the script. And together we'll shot list and come up with some ideas. But usually I'm doing a first draft and then showing him because, again, I'm controlling.
But no, and I imagine that, you know, Chris probably doesn't want to have to write a script.
He likes coming in and being like, yeah, I would love to do something like this, 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 this. And I'm like, okay, that's a good idea. And then I take that and expand on it. Yeah.
And so after that, when it comes to shooting, or maybe you need special stuff like animation, mm-hmm. that maybe, you know, you have to involve someone else.
Outsource, yeah.
Do you have a source of people that are kind of just your people? So maybe you need mm-hmm. a fancier camera rig, you know, maybe you need like a, sometimes the clients, oh, they want to pay for that fancy cinema camera, right? Yeah. Do you have a person for that? Do you have a person for animation? How do you source talent for that stuff?
Luckily, because we went to school, we have so many people that we went to school with, and because it's such a highly recognized program, they're all really talented. Like, we have a lot of really talented people that we know from school. But also along the way, from saying yes to different jobs, you meet people, and being friendly on set and finding out what they do and staying in touch, you build a network of people. And also, you know, word of mouth is the greatest way to not only find a job, but to, you know, to have someone recommended to you for a particular job. And that's honestly the way that we not only get a lot of our jobs, but we find people for those positions, because we can't do everything ourselves. And especially now with YouTube, it's like running two jobs. And there is a period of time, which is still a little bit right now, where we're like, oh my God,
I don't know how you're, I'm just drowning with YouTube
yeah,
stuff. I'm drowning with YouTube stuff. Running another business. I mean, I am doing this thing with LaCie right now, which is super fun. And it's allowing me to kind of like flex some old muscles of like interview vibe stuff. But yeah. It's basically where I'm producing the content of the interview of these contests they're doing monthly. Mm-hmm. So I'm not just like promoting it, but I'm also the person like making the videos that live on their website and stuff, which is really cool. But it's also bringing me back to kind of what I used to do, which is interesting, right? I'm still the on-camera personality, but there's a constant tug of, oh, how do I mix in enough stuff to keep it interesting, so it's not always just the classic YouTube plug that's bringing in the money. You know, it's like diversifying the income streams.
You have to do
making
that.
Sure you can still make good stuff outside of your own YouTube video.
Yep.
What is pulling you more? Because I know you and Chris, you've been traveling, you've been doing a lot of YouTube branded content. Where are you guys now? Maybe you personally as well, because still YouTube's kind of a new thing. Mm-hmm. But is it something that now you see as, oh, maybe let's push more, or let's see what it would be like if this was 60 or 70% of what we're spending our time on?
And for a long time, the business was still my main source of income, and I didn't want to let it go. And I still don't want to let it go. And Chris, sooner than for me, was like, this isn't fun for me. The stuff we're working on for the business isn't fun anymore. I'm doing such cool stuff on YouTube, and, you know, financially, this is also proving to be very fruitful, and I want to keep going and I want to go harder. And then there was one time, I'm looking at him to see if he's listening. He says, I'm okay to talk about this, where we got into an argument because there was one like really tight deadline. And then Chris got super flustered and he was like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. And then I like very calmly composed myself and I was like, that's something we can talk about after this project's done. But right now, I said, that's fine. If that's something you want to do, like, I was still really supportive because I thought, well, then we'll find a way that I can keep it running, because I need it. right now. And it's something that we built together, and I don't want to let it go. So that's something we can sort out if that's something you want to do. Cause I'm not going to hold him back.
Right.
And then after he calmed down, he's like, no, I really don't want, he's like, no, no, I don't really feel that way. He was just really stressed out. And it's been within the last like month and a half that I think we were just like hanging out in the apartment, and I turned to him. I was like, I think we need to find someone else to do to do the business things, and we'll just, you know, we really need to find a way for it to run without us,
right.
You know, way more hands off, and just peep in and just, you know, sell and participate in the creative and right. maybe show up on set, but we really want to be hands off now, but we don't want to let it go.
Right.
So just because YouTube is, it has so many opportunities creatively, mm-hmm. and it's been so fun to just make things I've always right? wanted to make.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's cool to, I mean, it equally can get stressful just because once you get a lot of the branded content going, yeah. you can have that same identity crisis of like, oh, am I making still the stuff I want to make? Mm-hmm. But then when you flip it on its other head, it's like, okay, well, now this just kind of enables me to add structure mm-hmm. around something I enjoy so mm-hmm. that, you know, you can find a balance yeah. of, you know, I'm a big believer in one for me, one for them.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
that's yeah, your motto. You do, right? Exactly. Yeah. That's my motto. And even with the YouTube, now I've kind of reached the point where it has the potential to be on autopilot because I just hired my first, you know, employee, but it's very exciting for me to not think of it as an autopilot, but it's like, oh, this means that
you process.
I process, but also I can spend time on the two edits I really care about a month.
Yeah.
And I can spend time like developing new ideas. And I don't know about you, and maybe you can speak to this. It gets overwhelming to where you just get in the flow of creating and you don't have time to zoom out and really strategize. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, let's think about like the title and the thumbnail. Let's think about actually giving this opportunity the legs to stand on. Mm-hmm. Cause a lot of times I'm just like, oh, I need a video. But then you don't think about the thing that gets people to click on the video.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and even longevity in terms of your brand is something that I started thinking about recently. And it's funny because I feel like I just started, but I'm already thinking about this because I was listening to Roberto Blake's podcast and talking
shout
about staying.
Out to Roberto.
Shout out to Roberto Blake. And, you know, people are so afraid of, you know, not being relevant anymore. And how do you position yourself to, you know, be a brand that will always, in a way, be relevant, and to grow that into, you know, a company rather than just a YouTube channel, just doing, you know, videos? How do you expand on that? How do you keep going and see yourself 5 years from now and what you'll be doing? Because us doing, you know, one video and the next video and the next video,
it's hard to zoom out
and zooming out and looking at the big picture, like just doing that next project isn't what's going to get us there. So I've been trying to find some downtime to really think about right. what I even want to do next year.
Right. Well, and it's important to have, you know, you have to make money. If you want to make it your job, you're going to have to think about, okay, what can I do with either digital products, brand collaborations? There's many ways to make money on these platforms, but you have to also cater to that a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
If I want to get XYZ brand, how can I get there and kind of reverse engineer it? And I remember when I was trying to get the Adobe Creative Residency like 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. Jeez. Mm-hmm. I had 7 months to completely reverse engineer it and be like, what would be the ideal Adobe resident?
Right.
And it was cool because they emphasize on process. So I was like, okay, I just have to double down on sharing my creative process. I'm good at that. Awesome. And so for the next 7 months, I literally made everything consistent. Instagram, my blog, I had a blog, Twitter, YouTube, to where I was like, when they look at me in 7 months, I am going to be the perfect resident. So it's almost like it's not the faking it until you make it. It's just being aware of what is the ideal Nike client look like?
Yeah.
What does the blah, blah, blah. Do you know what you want to strive for in the next year?
Working on it.
Well, Lizzie Pierce, tell me your deepest, darkest dreams.
Well, I'll tell you like kind of what's been happening this past year, because like when I started, I was just kind of along the lines of, I want to be a successful YouTuber. And a lot of that is in relation to numbers and things like that. But I wanted to be myself and I wanted to make the things I wanted to make. And like I said, I just wanted people to see my content and be inspired by it. So, and that's still a lot of what I'm doing. And especially on the road to 100K, that is a goal.
Subscribe, guys.
Subscribe.
Subscribe.
That is a goal that I have and that I want to meet, you know, in 2019. But then even thinking after that, you know, who are the brands that I really want to work with? What is it that I want to be doing? And what is it that I want to do that's actually going to impact people? Because I think a lot of quote unquote influencers and content creators in working with brands, like they want to work with a certain brand and that's like their ultimate goal. And there are brands that I think I do want to work with, but I'm still kind of thinking after that. If I do a lot of brand work, eventually I'm going to get bored. Eventually you're going to be like, well, I've made some cool videos, but how am I actually helping people? And so I mentioned this a lot to Chris, but still, like, we're kind of bogged down in the day-to-day that we haven't quite gotten there yet. But something that's really important to me is like donating blood. So I find time to do that as often as I can. And if there's a way we can partner with like a certain charity, like those are the things that will make me feel like a person. And if there's any way that I can use my following and my influence to help spread awareness around that, then ultimately that's a big goal. But also like finding out who would be the best partner for that, I don't know yet. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And it's important to have both sides of those things because you still gotta satisfy like the soul.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of like what my podcast is for me right now. It kind of gets me back to,
yeah, that's a little bit ours too.
Yeah. And I mean, even my YouTube channel from the beginning, it's like, entertain, inform, inspire. And if I can do one of those three things, that's sick. And I want to help people live their best creative life and help them get there. But even more so with this podcast, you know, I'm not making money on it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes that can be like, oh, what am I even doing? I'm spending so much time. But one, it is just like so fun. It is like so good for the soul. And I think it's so cool that we live in this time where everyone is so down to just give away secrets.
Yeah.
And I did not find a community in college. And I think if I can be that for people and if I can, like, you know, tap on to you super talented people and we can have these beneficial conversations, then it's like, heck yes, you know, doing my part.
Yeah, it's just so nice to have. I think people just want an inside look,
right?
And that's what the great thing
they're
is about podcasting.
For it.
Yeah, because even with like our YouTube videos, it's very formulaic.
Yeah,
and
10 minutes.
We have an idea of what we're gonna say. It's very polished, very manufactured look at our opinion on something,
right?
That we've thought about for a while, but you can't really get away with too much.
Yeah,
within us just having conversation right now. I had no idea what you were gonna ask me, for example. So this is just me, you know, and I think
I love
it. People want to hear that. And that's what we are trying to do with ours is, you know, give an inside look on what it's like to be in a relationship and have an unconventional job. Creative job.
And I do want to ask you about that. But before we move on from the video production stuff.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I feel like a lot of the videos that are doing well on YouTube.
Yeah.
Are people giving an insight on like how to get clients, how to do this, you know?
Yeah, I do too.
And it's right. But it's, I think it's because people are just starving for info and they're realizing
infotainment.
Yeah. Oh, and again, I think that's why it's so cool. Why you can give away a lot of your secrets because 95% of the people probably aren't going to do it, but you're doing it for those 5% of people who are going to act on it. And so what do you think is maybe some just like final advice to people that have a camera, they can edit stuff? Maybe I always say the first step and the greatest step you can do is to make like wedding films because it's the most frustrating, most challenging thing
ever. You want to get good really fast, work with people, learn the wonder that is explaining to people what photography and video production is, and how, and justifying the fact that
the
there is
education behind the
price. Education behind the price, the process, all of that. It is a crash course in everything, and you will make mistakes and you will run into angry people no matter how hard you try. But because of that, it is, yeah, I would 100% agree that, yeah, you know, just shoot some wedding videos.
And then what do you think is, you know, this sounds like a good YouTube title, but how do you secure that first client?
Yeah, I think I did a video. You
probably
about this. Yeah, yeah,
did do a video about this.
And people don't really like my advice when I say this.
Would you say?
Because it really is just, the biggest one is tell people what you do. A lot of people are afraid to, like, if it's their first job or something, they're afraid to tell people that I am a photographer, I do this, because it's such a statement that they're not even sure of their skills yet. But I think if you're just honest about where you're at, there's always someone out there who maybe can't afford, you know, a know-how media production, but they need someone who's just starting with a Canon T3i to do some headshots for them. Right. There is a market for what you do at your price point and at your skill set. You just need to have the courage to tell people, and eventually word of mouth and you being a nice person and doing the best job that you can and constantly trying to learn and improve and saying yes to things is going to get you so far.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel about working for free?
Our podcast today is actually about that. I think you have to, but at a
same
certain
too
point,
people hate that though.
Yeah,
especially the design community, you know, like,
if you don't have experience, how else are you supposed
and
to do
how
that
are you gonna fill up a portfolio?
Exactly. And if you're going around saying I want to make travel content and you have nothing to show,
and by the way, how of an ambitious goal is that? Oh, you want to travel the world for free?
Yeah.
And get paid?
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, we still do trips that we don't get paid for. Yeah. But yeah, they do cover our expenses, which is great. But in the beginning, it was, we'll let you into a few of, I want to say excursions, but you can get into this museum or you can get into this thing at this place.
You go to
Empire State Building that you wouldn't have necessarily been able to do before. Right. And then it's leveraging that into the next thing and getting flights and getting... and then doing such a good job with them that they want to have you back, and then saying, well, I worked with this tourism board and they said such good things about me. Do you want to talk to them? Because I can do the same for you.
It's so relational. If you get anything from this podcast, be a nice person.
It's not
and talk to people.
If you want something tomorrow, then this is not what you should be doing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Anything in life that's worth it takes patience.
Yeah.
Right? So you and Chris run a business.
Yes.
We just had a podcast where we talked about working relationships.
Yep.
John and I are YouTubers, so we do the same thing. We're boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah.
But it's different because you guys own a business together, mm-hmm. work very closely. How do you think it's going to change now that maybe at one point it was really just hardcore know-how media doing the corporate videos, but mm-hmm. now, you know, it's like you're pivoting to the YouTube mm-hmm. life, even though we hate the word, the influencer mm-hmm. life.
Yeah.
So how do you see it changing now that it's forming more into that?
Yeah, I think we won't get as many of those production jobs as we were doing, or I don't know, maybe we will. Right now it's quite busy, but it will work. It'll operate a bit, you know, less reliant on us. Right.
But is there more pressure? Do you think it'll add more pressure onto your relationship when you are the star of the video? When Chris is the star of the video?
You mean like when?
Like the, you know, recent New York trip. Like, is Chris helping out? Because I feel like that's a, you know, like, how much can they help?
Yeah.
Because then you got your own stuff to do.
Yeah.
And
right now, I mean, Chris is super happy and super supportive because it's kind of like I'm just starting to get to this tipping point where I'm working with brands that I'm really excited about. And we're at that position, you know, financially where I can do this more full time. And we're just meeting so many great people. And, you know, doing this with you right now is super exciting. And so he's really supportive of all of that. But there definitely are times, you know, with both of us that I don't want to be a tag along, and usually less now than, you know, than it was a few months ago. But I don't want to, you know, just come to NAB for fun and then, you know, walk around behind him and his buddies. So I I try very hard to keep myself out of those scenarios and like prevent those situations from happening, because you want, like, you want both of you to be successful. And especially because he has such a large following, like people are like, oh my God, Chris Howe and whatever. So like, and if they don't necessarily know what you do, or you're not, they're not as excited to meet you, mm-hmm. and you're just like, but I'm trying really hard too. Yeah.
And sometimes, as proud as you are to be Chris Howe's girlfriend, mm-hmm. you don't want to be that.
I don't want
every
to be
situation.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's something that
I'm my own human.
Yeah.
My own things.
And it's something my own stuff. Yeah. You'll figure it out. Cause that's something that, right after I started dating John, just all of these random opportunities came up, yeah. where it's like, oh, do you want to go to Thailand with me to do this like visa campaign? And I was like, sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then it kind of gets to a point where it is just like, oh, well, he's not getting paid, and he's not even
yeah.
in the scenario where I'm like, oh, if you'll help, like, you want to help me too, and like, I'll give you a cut. Like, it's one of yeah. those things where then he feels weird accepting that. He doesn't mm-hmm. want to do that. So it's one of those yeah. things that you yeah, kind of have to.
We try to get each other involved on the campaigns as much as possible, because it's just easier for us to both go a lot of the times. Especially if it's travel related. So we'll try hard to make that happen. If it doesn't happen, then it really depends. Like, I'm not going to be disappointed if he has to go without me. And usually that would be preferred.
Well, with like travel and leaving, I've gotten mm-hmm. to the point where I get like really sad if I'm away from John, like over 3 days.
It's harder now because we live together.
Right.
And so I really notice when he's not there.
Yeah.
But before, because like I had roommates and I was living by myself, it was fine. Yeah. And I was just kind of thinking,
I think it's just
because
I went from so lonely to like
yeah.
attaching myself so
to being
hard
together
to
all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when he leaves,
I'm like, John,
I'm alone. I'm alone again. How did this happen? So yeah, if it's travel related, like I'll try to go as much yeah. as possible, but it's only a few days, then
right.
whatever. Right. But we never want to be each other's tag along.
Right.
It doesn't feel good.
Right.
So if it's an opportunity that's worth something where you can get some cool photos mm-hmm. and there isn't too much going on at work, then it makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. YouTube. How's it going right now?
YouTube's going pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any frustrations?
The constant struggle of like what you guys want to watch is never ending. And then, yeah. And also, figuring out what things that I enjoy making. Yeah. I kind of had a realization lately where I went back to one of my videos that did perform really well, and I remembered how much I enjoyed making it.
Oh, well, that's a good...
Yeah.
Very rarely it happens like that.
Somehow it changed along the way, and because I went back and thought, well, and that looked good, and that yeah. was something I wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. And we were traveling, and, you know, I kind of put so many things together and thought, I was excited about that. I need to make one titles or, you know, concepts that I'm excited about making
right.
that I also think people will like.
I mean, because as much as we enjoy making YouTube videos and rah, 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 it's still a calculated thing that you have mm-hmm. to think about. Is there something right now that you know will do good? I mean, something on my feed that I've noticed mm-hmm. is like the Tyler Stallmans of the world and you guys. Mm-hmm. I mean, people, like I said earlier, are hungry to know, to like get video clients, to know how mm-hmm. to do XYZ.
The
how-to thing is
Like, what I've noticed though is that, so I have all these insights from producing and business related things, but still not a huge, that's not really what people are searching for necessarily. So I think if we wanted to, which I think we do want to do at some point, is create some kind of like package, you know, production tips on running your business, and here's some paperwork, and here are some things that you should do, then that's something that we can do somewhere else. But as far as what people are searching and want to watch, like really quickly,
more creative
stuff, more gotcha. Tips, more short information on how they can make money, how they can, you know, they're just starting out, how can they get better quickly? So my best performing video is how to make money as a beginner photographer.
Give us some quick tips.
It was to tell people what you do.
Yeah.
You know, on look for certain groups on Facebook that you can join okay. within. Yeah, like for example, when we were at school, there were a few groups where you could find jobs and like PA gigs and things yeah. like that. And that's how you'll get some of your first jobs.
Huh.
was just networking. Heck yeah. Really. Yeah.
Do you have anything that you want to put into the world, Lizzie? I mean, any revelations recently? Anything that you're just like, you know what? This helped me at a very, cross point in my life. If I only knew this.
Yeah. What's really helped me is just, and the way that my personality is just doing things anyways. You feel like if you feel nervous about something, it just means you really want it. If someone told you you can't do it, you probably still can. Just doing, even though it may feel hard, just do it anyways. And it's, people don't really like that piece of advice either, because they're like, well, how can I just do it? But rip off the Band-Aid. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
You being the producer vibe, I mean, do you think adding limitations to your creativity, adding deadlines helps?
Yeah, ultimatums is a big one. Doing your New Year's goals and actually sticking to them, writing things down, telling people, voicing out loud some of the things that you want to do that year.
Huge believer in that.
Yeah, then you can actually stay accountable for those things.
Guys, speak it into motion. I remember when I was still living at home in Texas, I went to my dinner table. I said, Mom, Father, Jonathan, my brother's name is John as well. I will have 10,000 YouTube subscribers by the next summer. Watch me. And then I had 100K the next summer.
There you go.
You know, and I think it's people, when you voice it, I think there's that level of, even if they don't hold you accountable, you feel accountable to them.
Exactly.
Right? And I think that can be very powerful.
And just, you have to try. If nothing less than that, you just have to try and do it. Because if you're sitting on your couch and you're too afraid to do something, then you're no further than where you were 5 minutes ago. So even if you do fail, you're only really a true failure if you don't do anything at all.
Yes. Well, no. And because it's sometimes, you know, it's just kind of like the tough love thing. I was at an event and a fan came up and, this is going to sound mean, but I mean, they asked, if you don't have the motivation to make videos in the beginning, what should you do? And I go, dude, if you don't have the motivation in the beginning, there's no way that you're going to have the motivation in the middle to go through the stuff that you're going to have to go through. So yeah. I was legit like, find something new. Because it's, if you, like, this
stuff
is strange.
So they wanted to do it, but they just had no motivation to actually
go ahead. That just means you
want to
be a YouTuber. And you,
it could just be not your personality.
Yeah. And I think something that's so evident with the people who are doing it, who are you guys, you know, who are Peter McKinnon. It's so obvious that making videos and telling stories is freaking in our blood, and we would die if we could not do it.
100%.
And
there are moments where it's hard for us to go ahead and make that next video, though. Like one of my first videos I made this year, it was just a recap of what it was like, you know, my first year on YouTube. And I was kind of having the holiday blues a little bit, and it was hard for me to set up my camera, but it's like going to the gym. It doesn't really feel good in the moment necessarily, but watching that video afterwards and editing it, you feel so good that you did it. And you feel so good after you did that workout. Yeah. It's so similar in your mindset of, you just have to imagine yourself after you did it and how good you're gonna feel. That it's done.
And if you don't feel good, then don't make videos.
Then yeah, it's not for
because
you, sorry.
Video, you know, I feel like stuff like real estate or some jobs like that is one of those things where you could basically, like going to college, you could learn it, you can go to classes, you can make the money, and like it can just be your job. Yeah. Video, I feel like there has to be just a part where just your soul's attached to it. Where And it's
not for everyone, and that's okay. Yeah, it's not, you know, that's why there's so many different jobs.
And that's why
so many people love.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's so encouraging. The videos you guys make, and like, people need videos. You can be a video production company and not be a YouTuber.
Mm-hmm. We weren't.
Yes.
We
could
have kept going.
I know. It's a weird direction that the podcast went, but in terms of like, I think it is very easy for me to just sit on the couch with my YouTube friends and talk about YouTube, but I think you gave a lot of good insights on like how you got there, and that you know, people need videos, corporate videos, make them good. There's room for improvement.
You can. Be original,
guys. How are these podcasts going by so quickly? We're already at an hour.
Would you look at that,
Lizzie? Where can people find you?
People can find me on
your Instagram's beautiful, by the way. I was just looking at your feed is so on point.
I'm trying.
Do you care about your feed?
I care so much.
Okay.
I could
Chris
tell.
Chris is nodding at me.
I could tell. I was like, this is art.
So Lizzie Pierce, right? On Instagram?
Yep. Lizzie Pierce on Instagram, on YouTube, all of the places. And it's Lizzie with an IE and Pierce with an EI.
It's
complicated.
I do ask, very last question, actually. Do you think, because people have way different opinions, there's a Gary Vee thing. Feed doesn't matter. Just post content, mm-hmm. all the content. Do you think a feed matters? Do you think when a brand clicks on your thing, like it matters
on Instagram?
For it to be pretty? Yeah.
I think it does matter.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But at a certain point, I struggled recently with just holding back so much of my content because I was comparing myself so much.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah. No, you can't. I'm literally sitting at my computer with my photo next to someone else's who is similar. Can't do that. Don't do it. And I had a mentor who gave me some advice and she just said, decide that you like it as soon as you take it, edit it, put it up anyways.
Wow.
And see, ultimatums. So even though
so that helps you get through comparison with people.
And some of those photos have performed really well. And then when they end up on my feed, and I've been doing that for the last few weeks, I've kind of sat back and thought, well, I do like my feed.
Yeah.
How did this happen? These are actually pretty good. They're starting to look good altogether. Planning out some of those posts ahead of time helps, not being so last minute and adding that additional stress.
Right.
But I think, your feed definitely matters, but at the same time, don't stress too hard about it. Take the photo, decide you like it in that moment,
put it up
anyways.
Yeah. Don't play that comparison game, guys.
Yeah, never do what I did.
It is bad. But thank you so much. This was such an amazing conversation. Everyone, check out Lizzie on the socials in the show notes below. We did a podcast, videos, so many things. So make sure you're subscribed to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, but also check out Lizzie and check out Chris's podcast. I did one with him.
I think it was like a year ago.
Was it a year ago?
Yeah, a year ago. Exactly 1 year.
It was, yeah.
Wow. So I did a podcast with Chris. You can check that one out as well. And if you want to watch the video version of this, of course, it is on youtube.com/Sarah Deechy. Just hit that join button for $5 a month. Okay. Thank you, Lizzie, for being on.
Thank you for having me.
Bye, guys.
Bye.